Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Welcome to the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you would like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so if you didn't get yourself over there to check out what's going on, swing on by there. The blog's still waiting for you. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
At home. Dan the Man with three.
Yep. All right, Dan. Well, we completely, not unsurprisingly, passed completely over the NBA draft yesterday because, let's face it, I just don't care. But, you know, the top three picks went pretty much as planned. It was Anthony Edwards to Minnesota, James Wiseman to Golden State, and then LaMelo Ball ends up going to Charlotte. The Bulls get on the clock next, Dan. They had the fourth pick, so we're looking for them to select a game changer, somebody who's going to start to help rebuild this roster. And, Dan, they picked a guy who didn't even start on his college team. So there you go.
Yeah, I got the text late last night from my nephew. So, yeah, I didn't even realize the Bulls were at number four. This is the best position that they've had since when? Michael Jordan? What? I don't even know. Derrick Rose, right? And so, I mean, like you said, we completely overlooked it. Wasn't really, I don't know, I just, maybe I'm not watching enough, but I just felt like it was Monday, it was Tuesday, and then all of a sudden I was like, hey, guys, it's the NBA draft tomorrow night. Oh, it is? So, you know, like you said, and then with all the little mellow talk and, you know, getting to see the, I was getting a kick out of all the memes with, LeVar will actually have to put, you know, go up one-on-one against, you know, Jordan until he gets a chance. You know, there was a lot of stuff because I've been just kind of following and watching all that. So it's been fun to watch, read that. But, yeah, like I said, I didn't even realize, and I guess because I'm just so used to the Bulls getting that 7-8 pick, that or whatever crap pick they usually get, and I didn't even look at what they did. So I get the text from my nephew that just says, seriously, the Bulls drafted the sixth man on the team.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, on his college team. I go, so they're just filling their bench? You know, and he's, you know, he's – it's funny, my nephew didn't play basketball growing up, you know, and I think the overlap was wrestling. But the kid loves the NBA. He loves watching it, you know, keeping up with it. And, you know, he's like, I mean, he goes, I guess I'll just go back to watching KD. He's like, but, you know, the kid's going to be leaving for the Air Force, so, you know, his stuff will be limited in the NBA stuff. So, I mean, you know, he's getting older, and he's just, like, sitting back, and he told me, he's like, I'm just lost. I'm dumbfounded. He's like, I don't understand this Bulls team. You know, so it brings the question again, when you're – and I'm just throwing names out there. Obviously, Kevin Durant's not coming here. But when you put up a name like Kevin Durant, or better yet, James Harden, because obviously the rumors are he's going to Brooklyn because he can't, you know, because I think Harden realizes now that LeBron's in the West that – unless you're going to play for the Lakers, you might as well just leave the West because, you know, well, let me get into that in a second. So, you know, when you see how the Bulls draft, and you're an NBA player, you're James Harden, and you pretty much have the pick of the league of where you want to go, and you see that. And I'm not just saying James Harden in particular, but guys of his echelon, his status, but even guys below him, you know, guys that signed a team that followed LeBron. You know, you can name some names, I forget their names, but, you know, guys that wouldn't be superstars but would want to play for a championship team. When you see stuff like this, doesn't this, on top of the rumors or the stuff that, you know, the fans, the rest of us don't really get to know that is talked about behind the scenes, doesn't this just solidify why nobody comes here? It's like, hey, these guys are dumbasses in the office. Why the hell would I want to go play there? Unless, of course, I'm D. Wade and I'm at the end of my career, and they're going to throw me $22 million or whatever it was. Hell yeah, I'm done. I'm going to take $22 million and sit there, you know, sell a few T-shirts, wave my little hat. You know, that's a little Tom Hanks for you. Wave my little hat. Shake hands, trade jerseys, and then go home. Hang out with my kids, family. You know, spend some time in Chicago, hang out with the family. I haven't seen as much when I was out in Miami. But does this just solidify it?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, the thing that always does it for me is when, you know, I'm reading the recap, because obviously I don't watch much college basketball, you know, that's about it. You know, and when I keep seeing the term, well, you know, this guy has huge upside, that's always, like, incredibly scary for me when they start using terms like that. You know, and then to make it worse, you know, the NBA draft is only two rounds, so the Bulls had a second pick. Well, they selected a guy from Serbia who isn't expected to play for the team for years to come. So I'm not quite sure what they were doing in this draft. You know, they have a new front office, they have a new coach, and basically all I could think of after it was all said and done was I hope they have better luck in the lottery next year.
Yeah. No, I mean, doesn't it just... You know, being here in Chicago, I mean, are we all just sitting on our hands waiting for Jerry Reinsdorf? And I don't mean this in a negative way, but basically to die and to hopefully the team will get sold.
Yeah, well, you know, the weird part with, like, this is he did pretty much everything right. You know, he hired the general manager that everybody – you know, said he should have hired. You know, this is, you know, the hot guy who built, I believe it was the Nuggets, who have managed to compete in the West, even though LeBron is out there with a loaded team, and, you know, he's going to get every break in the world. You know, and then they hire Billy Donovan, who, you know, is a quality basketball coach. But now, you know, I mean, now you look at it and you're just kind of like, okay, what were we kind of thinking here with this? You know, I don't know. I mean, you know, great, I get it that the guy was sixth man of his conference when he played at Florida State last year. And, you know, again, he so much upside here. And, you know, this could be this kind of pick or, you know, well, it could also go the other way. And unfortunately for the Bulls, it goes that way more than not.
Yeah, and I turned on – I had to drop my dogs off at the groomer this morning, not super early, around 10. So, you know, I left at quarter to 10. And I was cycling through the radio stations because, you know, the music sucks. So I immediately – go back to AM to get to the sports channel. And the first thing I heard, and I knew exactly what they were talking about, this is not the same as Mitchell Trubisky not starting so many games. And I just started laughing because I'm like, well, and then I realized, you know, I was on, you know, our local ESPN, so it was Hood, who's, you know, an NBA guy to begin with, and David Kaplan. So I just started laughing. And I mean, you know, locally here, and obviously you and I don't know these two guys personally, but you know how radio is. You kind of feel like you get to know them after a while, and it's kind of like, man, you got to feel bad for these guys, especially Hoodie, because he's such an NBA fan. I'm sure he's a Bulls fan to begin with, but man, how hard is it to get on a radio station in your own city, and you have to try to help sell the team when you're not even believing it? That's what kills me.
Yeah, well, don't they carry the games too to make it even worse?
I think they still do. Yeah.
So,
but you know, because in the past, he was the post game for all the Bulls games. You know, every once a year when I would go to a Bulls game, I would leave the Bulls game, and then whoever, you know, I always took my nephew, so I was always dropping him off, and I'd listen to Hoodie on the way home. I'd give him a call, you know, we'd BS for a couple minutes, you know, whatever. And he'd say, you know, congrats, you got the free Big Mac or whatever for the next day. And, you know, he always had a fun personality, but, you know, you can just tell when you're listening to somebody and when they're trying to sell you on something and they're just not even buying it. So, you know, it's rough, but not to drag it out too much, I want to get into the more ridiculousness of the NBA. And I did take a screenshot of a Big Jack and the proposed. I should have sent that to you yesterday when I did it. I must have deleted it. No, here we go. So this was what the mothership I got yesterday. Well, I'll start from the bottom. 42 games in conference, 30 out. Okay. 72 game season. I don't, you know, 72 from 83, I don't really, you know, it's whatever, you know. 9 games, big deal, right? The schedule released in 2 halves. I definitely have to read more to understand that. But the reason I haven't read any more, Big Jack, is just because this is what made me not even give a crap. I don't even care. And my nephew was, and he didn't see this, and I sent this to him too, and he didn't even, like, I don't even know what to say about this. Postseason expanded to 2018. You know, I was trying to find the thing where it just says the Lakers will be the one side and the other teams will be in a tournament to face the Lakers, you know, because LeBron's there. So, I mean, I wouldn't even call it the Lakers. I would just call it LeBron's team is going to be ready to go and everyone else is in a tournament to play LeBron's team. You know, because when everything starts, regardless of who they're up against, it will not be, you know, maybe Anthony Davis might get some, you know, little plugs here and there, but it'll be LeBron versus, you know, let's just say KD and Kyrie and company, you know, just like they did with the Warriors and the Cleveland. It wasn't the Cavaliers versus the Lake, the Warriors. It was the Warriors versus LeBron. So, I don't know how you feel about this, but I feel like this whole marketing only one guy is just going to continue to bite them in the ass to where they're just going to continue to lose money, you know, the whole night. And, you know, in 5 years, they're not just going to have a little Nike symbol or, you know, whatever their product placement is on their jersey. It's going to look like a NASCAR jacket because they're going to need all that money. Nobody's going to watch. I don't know. What did you read any of this? Did you see this? I mean, I already know your thoughts, but let's put it out there.
No, well, you know, the first thing I saw was I couldn't figure why they needed another play-in tournament because, you know, you are planning to play 72 games. It's not like it's going to be baseball, a little more of a third of a season. So I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to keep more people interested by adding more playoff teams, hoping that, you know, people from the Wizards or the Hornets or those teams that are in the bottom of the bracket will stick around a little longer. 'Cause let's face it, they are desperate. and I mean desperate to get any kind of rating whatsoever. You know, their ratings are in the tank. They're costing people at the Mickey Mouse Network their jobs. When this television contract finally ends, they have zero shot of anybody stepping up and giving them the kind of payday they just got. So what they're trying to do is make as much money as possible to kind of truncate the players, because once this contract goes away, the salary cap isn't going to be anywhere near what it is right now, and players are going to be looking at pay cuts, and, you know, that's when all the bitching is going to start. So they're just, you know, they're in desperation mode. They're just trying to save their ass and hope that one of these ideas they're flinging at the wall stick. But, you know, Dan, I mean, think about it. If the Bulls get in as the 20th team, how excited are you going to be to watch their playoff game or what they'll call a playoff game?
Well, that's exactly what I told my nephew, though. He was complaining about the draft pick, and I go, well, with the 20-team expansion for playoffs, they're a playoff team. And he goes, what? So I sent him the link, and I didn't hear from him until this morning.
You know, and I will say, I did notice you set up the Fantasy League, but I don't know if you picked a draft date. Did you pick something yet?
Oh, crap. You're right. I didn't even think about that. We'll shoot some emails afterwards. I'll get that set up tonight. I didn't even think about that stuff. And where it falls, obviously.
If you're interested in playing in our league, you know, email us, sportstimeradio.com. It's, you know, it's free. And to be fair, I don't know if you'll beat Dan, but you'll probably be able to say you beat me just because I am terrible at basketball for whatever reason. Except for last year, I would have been a playoff team, but they did cancel the league. So I'm hoping to build on that momentum from last year. But, you know, like always, it's free. We're not going to charge you for it. 20 teams through Yahoo, so jump in and play with us.
Yeah. Well, you were only going to make the playoffs because I set it up so there was 18 teams in the playoffs.
Yeah, sorry. It would increase my interest in basketball because I would be a playoff team. And then I could play, the next year as a playoff team.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that was just a joke. You picked a good team last year, and, you know, obviously with the way the NBA goes and fantasy, you need at least two superstars. So if one of those guys gets hurt, your season's screwed. But if they stay healthy, you're in good chance. Unlike my fantasy football team that I have no quarterback in right now. Not the 9-1 team. I'll bitch about that next week, Big Jack. I got to try to figure this out tonight. When it comes to the NBA, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say that I love the game and I'm the biggest NBA guy out there. Obviously, that's not true. But I definitely enjoyed the game. I enjoyed watching it. I'm a sports guy. You know, my wife doesn't even get how I can watch NASCAR. I'm like, well, you know, it can be a little boring at points. I go, but once you get under 50 laps, it gets more exciting, you know, things like that. But it just kills me that, you know, all the things they're trying to do to grow the fan base are actually things that are turning around, turning guys like you and I who had like a respect and a liking of the game into not really caring about it. You know, when I see 20 teams out of 30, is it 30 or 32, are going to be in the playoffs, why would I watch the regular season? What is the point of tuning in to any of the 72 games? What's the point? Because it doesn't matter how good or how bad the Bulls are, they're going to make the playoffs. unless they're really that bad. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
They're going to make the playoffs. So I just, you know, I'm just losing the interest in the game every single year. You know, it just keeps. If you had a meter, you know, I'm almost to 25%. You know, I don't know if I'll turn on a game this season. I don't know. I can't tell you.
Yeah, I'll pretty much do it the way I always do it. I'll click over, I'll get a score, I'll watch it for a couple minutes, and then I'll move on because the only thing I would have seen has been a 3-point shot.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then there's no other reason for me to stick around.
And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that kids are stupid because, you know, you don't know what you don't know. But at what point, when you're a kid, a preteen going into teenage, do you start looking at this and going, wait a minute. So you're telling me that my team is 32-40, but we're going in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And we have a chance. You know, I mean, I know young kids usually, you know, jump on the bandwagons. Hence, you know, my nephew being a KD fan, you know, that whole Oklahoma thing back then. But again, you know, at some point, even the young ones are going to grow up watching and being excited about the sport because maybe their dad watches it. And then they're going to start realizing, well, you know, this league is, it's the epitome of participation award, isn't it? Yeah, why not just give everyone a trophy?
I don't get it. You know, it's just one of those things where it's kind of like, you know, here we go. What's gonna kind of happen here? And you know, we're still gonna have to listen to LeBron and all his teammates bitching about the fact that they didn't get any time off. You know,
yeah.
We just got done playing. How come we gotta come back? So.
And they're regionalizing it, so you're not even going to have to travel. Granted, I do think the downside on the West Coast is there's a lot of miles between teams, but, you know, unlike here, well, I don't know. I mean, Indianapolis to Chicago to Milwaukee isn't, you know, bad. You know what I mean, though. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting, but when you see all this, you see the ratings drops, you kind of see the negative side of the NBA. And you're an owner in the NHL. Does this kind of make you smile a little bit? You know, you try to get Charles Barkley back to give you some pumps.
Yeah, you know, I you know, you do got to kind of, you know, start to almost wonder, you know, how long this all kind of, you know, kind of hangs on before more or less everybody just turns on the league. And, you know, I mean, they're almost to the point where nobody is watching now. So I don't know how much worse it can get for them. But, it, you know, there's a possibility that it could.
I don't see the league folding or anything like that. I just, you know, you're just, and I'm not saying they have to go out of their way for me, but I'm kind of in that casual fan status, and the stuff that they're doing isn't piquing my interest. You know, I mean, why would I tune into anything other than the finals, the absolute finals? And even then, I already know. I mean, we've been quote and quote predicting, which, I mean, I don't even know how, if you can call it a prediction, Big Jack. But, you know, how many years now have we been predicting who's going to be in the finals? Except for last year, because we didn't even bother.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, I mean, I think the one thing they were hoping for was that the Warriors would kind of return to prominence and, you know, they would be able to pit, you know, LeBron against Steph Curry and his guys. Well, you know, and then yesterday, you know, it comes out that Klay Thompson gets hurt while he's rehabbing, and instead of his left knee, which he injured last year, it's his right knee, I think officially it's a torn Achilles, and he has already been declared out for the season. So now the Warriors are already shorthanded, and the season hasn't even started.
Yeah, I mean, I did see that. Out for the season. I'm like, see, they didn't start yet.
So, yeah, it's kind of like, oh, okay, great. Thank you. What can you even say? So, you know, you're just kind of like, but who? So... you know, we'll have to kind of see how it goes, and, you know, how things play out. But, yeah, it's not, you know, not looking like they're doing anything that's going to make, make fans come back to watch. So, you know, we'll have to see, you know, if they can do something. But, I mean, you know, locally here, you know, we were talking about the Bulls earlier. They didn't do anything to make me want to watch their games.
No. No, they did not. Did I think I went to a game last year early. I don't remember, actually. But, you know, and that's the thing. I don't remember. I know I went. I took my nephews to Bulls Lakers, but other than that, I don't remember if we got it in early last year, if we just didn't go, maybe I did. I don't remember, but you know, that's the thing I'm talking about. I'm a casual fan, and of all things, I definitely enjoy going to a game. And you're right, I didn't go to a Bulls game last year. Last Christmas, I took my nephew down to Indianapolis for Hickory Night. And we saw the Pacers take on, I think they took on the Nets. I don't remember who they took on, but, you know, and what I enjoy about the game is, you know, sitting there watching it, first of all, but getting there early, checking out the stadium, you know, getting the feel. I'm not a Clippers fan. I'm not a Pacers fan, but, you know, I got a Pacers hat, so I wore that, you know, just to get the crowd. I love that. I love that experience. But, you know, with my nephew leaving for the Air Force in a month, and then not knowing, you know, where he's going to be over the next 4 years, I don't, you know, if it weren't for him, I don't know if I would have gone to the NBA games that I've gone to over the last couple of years, to be honest, you know. So he's gone. The season's starting up. Granted, we don't know what the hell's going to go on with this whole COVID, or if there's going to be a miraculous, you know, cure. So we don't know what it's going to be like, but I'm not going. You know, this season starts, I'm not going. And he'll be gone. You know what I mean? And
didn't you tell me once Trump was out of office, they would cure COVID and we wouldn't have to worry about this?
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know. But I did want to ask you the one thing about the draft, and I should say the – The only thing I found interesting about the draft, and then I've got something else that you're going to have to attempt to explain to me, but, you know, I mentioned the third pick in the draft was LaMelo Ball. Well, Dan, he went to Charlotte, and who owns the Charlotte Hornets?
I was going to say the Bulls. Michael Jordan.
Yeah, there you go. So do you think we get the LeVar, I can beat Michael Jordan Ball in the one-on-one game?
No. Not happening. Jordan's not going to do it. It will be interesting, and I think there, you know, the spotlight, the whatever you want to call it, is going to be on Charlotte this year. You know, everyone's going to be. That's probably the only games I'll tune into.
Yeah, because you know, I mean, that was, you know, the best part of it for me. I was just kind of like, oh, this is perfect. But yeah, other than that, I was just kind of like, and then the thing, you've got to explain this one to me, Dan, because I, you know, these things confuse me. All I ever hear from sports writers or people who report on sports is, well, you know, we've got to find a way to make the games quicker. They've got to be faster. Last night, Dan, it took an hour and I think it was 10 minutes for the NBA to make 9 draft picks. Dan, each team gets 5 minutes to pick. Even if every team used every minute of their time, it should have only taken 45 minutes, if my math is correct. Why is it okay that the games need to be faster, but the drafts need to be slower, so we can talk about every player, their heritage, and what they're going to bring to this team that just drafted them, allegedly, and how they're going to help them win championship after championship, which we know isn't true. It's just, you know, it makes it frustrating to watch, Dan, and I got to tell you, I watched the first pick because I was interested. And then when I realized they were going to stretch everything out, and this was 2 picks in, I realized they were going to do this. I turned it off and then just came back and went to the crawler to find out who was drafted. I'm not going to sit there and listen to 8 different analysts tell me the same thing about a guy. I don't get it. Explain it to me on why games need to be shorter, but drafts can go as long as we want.
I don't know, because they're in studio. They didn't have to travel anywhere. I mean, you know, I was talking to one of my friends on Instagram earlier today, you know, just about baseball in general. And we were talking about Sheffield and, you know, how he's not a media darling. So he doesn't win anything. You know, things like that, and how it's so the media bias becomes so involved in the game that it kind of legislates people out that don't want to watch it. And, you know, like you said, the games need to be sped up, but I don't understand. Well, number one, I could tell you how to speed up the game. Quit calling a foul on every single little finger touch. And you know what I mean? Like there's too many fouls. And that's the one thing I dislike about the NBA. Is the game isn't played on how better your players and team is than the other team. The game is played on how many more times can I grab a foul. You know, I think that needs to be removed from the game to make it more exciting. You know, why does LeBron get a fast break and just do this amazing dunk? Well, that's because the two guys that are down there know that if they get in his way, they're gonna get called a foul, even if they are standing solid, 2 feet planted on the ground before LeBron reached, they're gonna get called a charge. You know, and that's the one thing I hate about this game, is it's so revolved around fouls. But if you take out half the stupid fouls that are called, it'll speed up the game. I mean, think about the last 2 minutes. and the Shaq attack, or whatever we call it, you know, the last 2 minutes of the game can either be 2 minutes or 25, 30 minutes. You know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, because humorously, and this just made me laugh. Like, I haven't laughed in a really long time. They had the Major League Baseball sends out polls, you know, asking everything, and they were talking about it on one of the MLB Network shows that Brian Kenny, you know, hosts with all his media buddies, and two of the things that fans didn't like, Dan, and this won't surprise you, 7-inning doubleheaders and a runner on second base to start extra innings were two things that fans don't want to see. Dan, you should have heard the media guys crying about this. Oh, you know, they don't understand how much this helps the game. And it's really a good idea. You know, 7-inning doubleheaders really help us get the games in. And look at the pitching we're going to save. And all I sat there, all I can think to myself is, you selfish bastards, all you want is the game down quicker so you don't have to report on it as long. I'm not stupid. Mm-hmm. And I hope no fans are buying it either, because it's a crock of BS. That's why they want the games to end early. Oh, I was at the ballpark for 6 hours. Yeah, well, there's guys working in factories for 8 and 10, so suck it up. You were at the ballpark. Ooh.
Well, and Big Jack, I mean, and, you know, obviously we're not going to put out there what you make and, you know, whatever. If your pay scale was a little bit lower, significantly lower, do you think – where you work, would you be working, you know, your shifts, or would you be working, especially right now, would you be in there for 10, 12, maybe 14 hours a day?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, it's, you know, and you know, if the pay scale gets any lower, I might be, depending on how things go in this country now. You know, if Joe Biden's going to charge me a gallon for gas, I may have to, you know, try to, you know, find a second job. I'm going to live with you, one of the two.
Yeah, it is interesting how gas lowered when the Democrats were out of the presidential office. Hey, that's just a conspiracy, right? Just a conspiracy that when Obama was in office, we were paying $3 plus, almost $4 a gallon, and all of a sudden Republicans are in and we're back to normal $2 prices, which wasn't normal because I was driving around as a teenager looking for 88 cents.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, but yeah, you know, so it just, you know, those kind of things just kind of make me laugh when I, you know, I hear them. But, you know, for those, you know, and then for these guys, of course, you're talking about the fans, okay? Nobody cares what the media wants, all right?
No.
They're the guys who have the platform to put their opinions out there. But the fans could care less that these guys think it's a good idea. You do what your fans want. You don't do what the media wants. And it was just funny listening to these guys, because I think it was – might have been John Paul Morosi or John Heyman or one of the guys who's the regular on there, just whining about the fact that – well, they didn't understand how much it helped the game to have a runner on second or to have a second-inning doubleheader. And all I kept wondering is if somebody held a BS meter up to their television as if it would have flowed. Because, man, he was wrong to sell you crap.
No, and, you know, the only thing I do get with the length of a game, and which I know you brought up the percentage of extra-inning games, you know, I'm not opposed to ties. There's 162 games. You know, so I don't think there's an issue with putting in, you know, a tie. So, but again, man a second, why don't you just change the name? changed it from Major League Baseball to Little League Old Guy Baseball. I don't know. What would you call it?
Yeah, it will. You know, again, I mean, and I couldn't. The only reason I stayed on it, on the station, was because I was laughing so hard. I mean, I literally, you know, basically I'm alone most of the time. It's me and the three cats. So, but yeah, if any, you know, people would have thought I was nuts if they looked at me, because I was just cracking up, and it was like, really, you know, let's get over yourself. And so all I kept wondering was, is there anybody stupid enough to believe this that's actually watching this at the present time? You know, does anybody honestly believe that this guy is trying to do what's best for baseball? You know, because it's clear he's just worried about himself. You know, and I get it. That's human nature in a lot of ways. You know, I mean, if I could make my job easier, yeah, sure, I probably would. I'm sure everybody would if they had a way to do it. But my job doesn't deal with the public. So I'm not doing a disservice to anybody else. These guys are basically doing a disservice to every baseball fan.
Well, so. Not only that, I mean, opinions are great. And, you know, this is the one thing, the great positive and negative. It's like the double-edged sword for the way the world is today. Everyone has a voice, but sometimes that voice just doesn't, you know, so many people don't think before they speak. Kind of like you're listening to me going, well, you need to think before you speak because you're just rambling on. But trying to get to my point is you have to look at it from all sides, not just from, I don't want to wake up and sit at the park all freaking day, you know, for 6 hours. You know, shut up. I know it was only one day, but my wife sat in behind home plate at AT&T Park, now Oracle Park, for 5 hours. It rained. We watched a 13 or 14 inning game. I asked her if she wanted to leave. No, it's okay. She sucked it up for me that one time. Granted, because she knew we weren't going back to San Francisco anytime soon, especially with me booking hotels, because you don't even want to know where we stayed. But we sat there, enjoyed the hell out of the game, and we weren't in luxury, Big Jack. We didn't have, well, I guess I didn't get the stadium tour that weekend when we were there. But, you know, when it comes to the media room, they have nice cushy chairs, unless you're on the very top. I think that's when they get the fold-outs. But, you know, these guys have nice chairs. They got a spot. They get fed free drinks, you know, the whole nine. I have to pay for everything. And I'm sorry, but, well, granted, the job I have now, they have a refrigerator stocked with, you know, drinks and bunch of healthy snacks, which, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, most people don't get to go to work and just get fed. You know, I mean, you remember when we were down in South Bend, we got it was pretty nice treatment. Of course, it wasn't major league treatment, but they took pretty damn good care of the media that was there that day. And I'm sure every day that they're there. But, you know, so it's not like you're being thrown down in a dungeon. You know, and then, I don't know. So, and that's what irritates me. And that's, you know, one of the things, like, my friend and I were talking about, you know, we brought up the seven-inning doubleheaders. And it's like, and this is where I mean they need to think before they speak. You're trying to institute a thing that cannot happen without approval from both sides. And you're telling me that there's 32 baseball owners who want to stop selling alcohol at the fifth inning.
Yeah.
Did you hear me? Stop selling your moneymaker at the fifth inning. How many thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars, much of the White Sox, or maybe the Pirates too, Tampa Bay, are you going to lose by losing those two innings? especially with the fact the way the salaries are. So you drop two innings off because, if they're scheduling, if there's going to be scheduled doubleheaders to supposedly get more time off, you would almost two a month, wouldn't you? So, two a month, that's 8 innings. It's almost an entire game that you're losing revenue on. How is that?
Yeah, and especially after a year where they just had to play without fans, and they lost, how many dollars? They're going to look for every revenue possible.
Yeah, you're going to come into a season where, let's go with the Dodgers. What are they? They have like one of the highest capacities at like 55 or something. Are they going to be lucky enough to have a 50% capacity? What is that? Roughly 20,000 people. You're going to be trying to force feed these people to buy more beer, buy more hot dogs. We have too many. You want to better the game, but you're not, like you said, they're only thinking about themselves. And the stigma is always that the owners are, the guy on the Monopoly board. Everyone hates them. But what they do forget is that guy, that team, that group, that woman, I don't care, I'm not trying to be, include everybody. I don't know who owns every team. They don't just sell tickets, pay their players, and go home with millions of dollars, like swimming in a big giant vault like Donald Duck. Or was it Donald Duck or his uncle? Whatever. You remember the old cartoon.
Yes.
That doesn't happen. There's thousands of people they have to pay. Thousands of people who can potentially lose their home, their residence, whatever, because they're not able to sit there and sell the beer anymore. Five innings, wow, I might as well just find another job. I did take the survey. I did pick my guys, and I put in there what I didn't like you said, the doubleheader and the innings thing, the extra inning thing. Did you get your MLB at fan at bat in ballot in today?
Yeah, no, I took mine too. I made sure to get my votes in, all that other stuff. I always, anytime I get one, I fill it out. I don't, I don't wait for, anything like that. I'm like, yes, please send it to me right away. So.
And I know the only guy on your ballot was LaTroy Hawkins.
Yes. Actually, to be fair, it was Mark. No.
Oh, okay. I don't know why I get so upset about it, to be honest with you, but it's like, you guys are sitting out there in Connecticut living the dream and you're going to bitch about it. And again, you and I don't know locally Mr. David Kaplan personally, but I've seen this man host a morning radio show and then do a post-game show for a West Coast Cubs game, and then the next morning be right back on the radio, and this man does not complain. I mean, he has his faults. We all do. Like you said, he would, gladly spend every single dollar that the Cubs have on anything. But the one thing I respect, and this is why I like him, is because he doesn't bitch about his job. He doesn't bitch that he has – this guy was going from a radio station at 9 in the morning. Granted, I think his shift's only a couple hours. Doing a pregame show with a guy who, moonlighted as a Cub for a week. Didn't do jack anything here except for have a hot wife. Sorry. And then Dennis do a postgame show and then goes home, sleeps for 3 hours, and is back downtown Chicago hosting his radio show. Granted, he doesn't have to sit at the ballpark for 6 hours, right? Is that why he doesn't complain, Big Jack?
Yeah, well, you know, isn't the MLB Network in New Jersey, though? I don't think they're in Connecticut, are they? I mean, I know the Mickey Mouse Network is, but I think the MLB Network's in New Jersey, right?
Yeah, you're probably right. The one thing I've learned about that whole East Coast area, that New England area, is, you know, I'm not going to say that they get around, but, man, you know, you could live in Connecticut and you're working down in Delaware or something. Granted, they might be next to each other. I forget where my geographic location. But, you know, it's almost like in Illinois. Well, not really, but, you know, we're all from the suburbs, and then we go to the city.
Yeah.
I feel like it's so much like that in that New York, Jersey, Connecticut area and Boston, you know, where it's like a 2-3 hour drive away. Not that, you know, that far. But you're probably right. You're probably in Jersey, but...
Yeah. You mentioned, you know, the voting, and, you know, there are – the Hall of Fame ballots are out, and there are new guys on it, Dan, and I got to tell you, I don't think any of these guys are first-timers, but here's the name, you know, or first ballot Hall of Famers just for everybody. I mentioned Mark Burley. There's A.J. Burnett, Michael Kadire, Dan Heron. You mentioned LaTroy Hawkins, Tim Hudson, Torrey Hunter, Aramis Ramirez, Nick Swisher, Shane Victorino, and Barry Zito will be the guys appearing on the ballot this year. You can stay on the ballot for 10 years as long as you get 5% of the vote each year. Dan, I got to tell you, I mean, while there are players on here that I actually liked, I don't think any of these guys are Hall of Famers. Do you got any of those guys going in eventually?
Eventually, I think Burley, maybe. But like you said, too, I mean, that was one of the reasons I just kind of was picking the old guys, all the steroid guys. Because I loved watching Barry Zito, but I don't know if he – I think the end of his career kind of hurt his chances on getting into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, you know, and I know, you know, like Curt Schilling is the – highest returning guy. He got 70%. And I believe it's his, Clemens, and Bonds last year on the ballot. It's their 10th year. So I'll be interested to see, because I've heard a lot of push for them. You know, obviously what's keeping Schilling out are some comments he made. Just go through his Twitter account and you can find out what those are. We know what keeps Clemens and Bonds out, and there's really no reason to put those guys in. But if there's ever a year they're going to get in, this is it, isn't it? Because there's no
Derek
Mariano Rivera type of guy on the ballot as a first-timer.
No. No, there isn't. There isn't, like you said, a Mariano type person on that ballot.
So,
it was kind of – I got it, and it's almost like – Do you just kind of go drop down to that last box and check the nobody, you know?
You know, because, like, there was some other thing. Like, I heard somebody mentioning that they thought Scott Rowland would get in. And, you know, while I thought Scott Rowland was a really good player, I don't believe he's a Hall of Famer. So I was really surprised that he was getting so much support. I'm guessing the media must have really liked him when he played. Omar Vizquel is another guy who I think eventually will get in. But I was just really kind of surprised to hear Scott Rowland get so much support. And I was just kind of like, oh, okay, what am I missing here with him? I guess that he was a great defender and he won a World Series, but we're talking about a guy who's a career 281 hitter, and, you know, he hit 316 home runs. That's nowhere close to the magical 500 number that you need. You know, remember Fred McGriff didn't get in, and he's sitting at like 499. And I think Fred McGriff was a better player than Scott Rolen. I don't get it. So tell me what I'm missing with Scott Rolen, Dan. That's what I need you to do, because I don't understand it. I mean, he never led the league in home runs or RBIs, obviously never won a batting title. You know, is being Rookie of the Year and winning 8 Gold Gloves in a World Series enough to get you into the Hall of Fame?
Do you think that has anything to do with the fact that the ballot's so thin?
You know, it might, but even so, I mean, if you don't think a guy's a Hall of Famer, don't vote for him. You know, I mean, you're not forced to vote for 10 guys. You know, I mean, you can't tell me that Gary Sheffield wasn't a better player than Scott Rolen. You know, so I don't, you know, it's kind of baffling that Roland gets this buzz, and I haven't heard anybody say anything about Gary Sheffield. I heard somebody talking about Jeff Kent the other day. I was just kind of like, really? So, you know, like when you look at Sheffield's numbers, he's a career 292 hitter, and he hit 509 home runs. All right, now obviously he wasn't the defender Rolen was, but he did win a batting title. You know, he won a World Series. He's a World Series champion just like Rolen is. And he was voted Major League Player of the Year by you know, I think it was the Sporting News gives out that award. So, you know, I mean, how is Rolen a guy with a chance to get in and Sheffield gets lower vote totals than him? Can you explain that one to me, please?
Well, in regards to Sheffield, as my friend and I were talking about this morning or this afternoon, he wasn't a media darling. So if you're not a media darling, you don't get the vote.
Right. You know, I mean, You should be able to look at a guy's playing career and decide if he's a Hall of Famer. And, you know, to be fair, if Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds get in this year, don't you have to let Pete Rose in?
Yes. Yeah, I would think, in my opinion, what they did was worse.
Yeah. You know, because, I mean, you can say whatever you want to say about Rose. While he was stupid for what he did, he didn't cheat to become great. You know, he didn't need help to be a better hitter or a better pitcher. You know, and it was funny because I heard somebody trying to defend Bonds and Clemens' actions by saying, well, you know, everybody was doing it. Okay, well, where's the proof that everybody did it? How come they're the only guys who got caught? So,
well, and now
all this
stems from Jose Canseco being a snitch.
Right. You know, well, you know, and that's like the thing your mom used to tell you, Dan. If everybody jumped off a cliff, would you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because everybody did it, right, just because everybody did it doesn't make it right.
No.
So, you know, I mean, that's a ridiculous argument.
Yeah, and when you think about it, though, technicalities, it wasn't against the rules.
Well, I want to let you know, but obviously that means we're leaving. Now, with that, come on, we've got to stand over at